Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Conversations with B. I am your host, B. We have on the line your host, co-host, Michael. Michael?
Hey, hey, hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. And now signing in, we have your other co-host, Robin, a.k.a. Rob, signing into the show.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Hey, Rob.
Yeah,
how you doing, boo?
Hey, Michael. Hey, B.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's going on? All right, before we get started, let me throw some ground rules out here before we forget. You know, last show, again, this is new technology for me and Rob. You know, they changed over the last 13 years, so I had to readjust. So, callers, when you call in, please make sure that you type your name in, because if you don't, I have your phone number. I don't know if you want us having your phone number. I don't care. But anyway, make sure you type your name in so we can see it too. And I will be making sure when you call in, you will be muted when you're not talking. But again, we want to keep the flow of conversation going. So feel free to call in. The call-in number is 515-605-9718. Again, your call-in number is 515-605-9718. Y'all like that? I had to throw that voice on there, you know.
Sound like that elevator.
You know, I gotta get it going. So how are we doing? So tonight's show, everybody, identifying red flags in relationships and setting healthy boundaries. Yo, let's get this conversation started. Who want to go first?
Wow.
I know we got examples. We got red flags. So we're going to just throw it out there.
Well, I guess I'll get on in. Matter of fact, we were talking about this earlier. I've noticed that, like, as, you know, of course, I just, you know, entered a master's program and I'm putting in the work. And, you know, as my time is, as my time gets taken up and consumed by my studies and work and my other personal obligations, I'm noticing that, like, you know, certain friends of mine are throwing little microaggressions here and there. There are other conversations being had behind my back and things like that. And it's that whole concept of, like, you look at it and you're like, well, am I outgrowing this relationship in some way? Because I place boundaries, because I say no, or because, you know, I tell you that I can't do something because I have a health problem right now and I can't, you know, I can't put myself at risk, things like that. Because some of you know, some of you don't. I have Crohn's disease, so I take medication that can sometimes suppress my immune system. And I have to sort of place certain boundaries. I can't go into, like, large groups of people, have to social distance. If I have to go somewhere, I have to mask and things. And some people don't understand those limitations. Or if they hear it, they sort of dismiss it as if it's something, you know, of less importance. And I guess the realization is, you know, just like my therapist told me, you know, as you grow and you start doing these things, like, you made the sacrifice to go to school, you're paying money to do that. Who wants to go at that and fail? So you've got to, you know, place those boundaries in order for you to be successful at what you're doing right now. And you got to place certain boundaries because of your health, because you always see yourself to value your life enough to place those boundaries. So it was just a reminder that, you know, it's okay to have those limitations and those boundaries and things put before you, you know? So.
Yep.
That was that.
And they always say the people, so it sounds like the people, some of your friends have benefited when you didn't have boundaries. They were sucking all of that good energy. They were like, yes, Michael going to be there for us. Michael got us because he always been there for us. And once you were like, no, I got to be there for me right now. What?
Yeah.
And Rob, Michael and I were talking about this earlier. I was talking about you and I's friendship for over 30 years now. I'm like, there's been times we've gone months and haven't contacted, but it don't change the friendship. Because we both understand we got lives of our own that we got to lead. And I'm not latching myself and dependent and trying to force my friend to do things and be there for me and be my thing, because I got to do that for myself and vice versa. So real friends are going to understand. Real friends are going to be like, you know, I don't need your explanation. Okay, do you? I'm a girl. We're going to get back up. Boy, we're going to get back up. Whatever. when you need it. It's the friends that start showing that opposition were never really friends.
Right.
They were selfish.
And I remember
I want to define what a red flag is, you know. A red flag is essentially a sign that goes off when something's just not right. Like intuitively telling you to steer clear, you know. And in cases of relationships, they'll show up when the object of your affection does or say something that just rubs you the wrong way and makes you question the relationship, you know. And depending on the severity of the behavior, you know, it can range from, you know, to be cautious to actually, hey, I don't need to be around this person at all. So, yes, sometimes, Michael, you have to just back up and be like, hey, I got to do me, be selfish. If they can't understand that, they're not your friend, okay?
Exactly. And you know, Bridget said something earlier when we were talking about it where she said, you know, they remember the Michael when you first came around, the Michael that was still healing and getting over certain things. So you you had this time because you were filling this time with these people, you know, and a shift in that them no longer having that access is another thing. I even had somebody that literally like said, I don't think he's as sick as he claims to be, because Maddie's funny. Like when it comes down to being present, he tends not to be there. And you know what? You know, I remember I said something to a friend like earlier this week. I said, you know what? If people understood what it took for me to get to this peace of mind, for me to get enough courage to believe in myself enough to do the things that I'm doing, they would understand why I'm not going to sacrifice it for them. And at the end of the day, you don't have to understand. I don't owe you that. I don't owe you anything. I'm going to do what I got to do for me.
Say it again for the people in the back. I don't owe you.
and that's why I always tell people. I don't obligate people in my mind.
It's a sense of entitlement they have to your energy. They feel entitled to your energy because you've freely given it. So often they don't realize that that's because of who you are as a person. But that doesn't mean you're entitled to it when you want it.
Right.
But I heard Rob snicker. And Rob, was he preaching to the choir? Have you been told that shit? That, oh, she
all
ain't that
time.
Sick.
Oh, all the time. And it's like, you know, for me in my situation, you know, for having a spinal cord injury, you know, for me to get out of the bed, you know, is a struggle, you know. But for someone like me who tried to get up and go to work every day, you know, horseback ride, skydive, ski, you know, all of these things. But when I'm sick, you be like, you ain't that sick. Ain't that wrong with you? And it'd be like, wait, now you can have a sticker, you know, a little toothache or whatever, and you dying, you know. And here I am, I can run circles around you, you know, all day long when it comes to pain, you know. So, it's funny. It's funny.
But you know what kind of stood out to me about that whole situation, Robin? They also don't know what it takes emotionally to push yourself every day. You understand? Yeah. You ain't got to be physically sick to be capable of being present for other people. And that, like, people don't know the emotional stress. Like, mental exhaustion can sometimes take more out of you than physical exhaustion.
Yes, it will. I had to learn how to start asking Robin. Like, Robin and I, you know, we just had that relationship. But when I became a therapist myself, I said, you know what, let me start trying to remember, like, friends, do you have some room for my emotional shit today? And I had to be more present as a friend because, like, for real, I had to really feel like I didn't realize that until I became a therapist that, you know what, I'll just call my friend and be like, bitch, and throw this on there. And I haven't even checked in on their mental health, and that's selfish. And I had to check my own selfish behavior. So I have to still remember, because I'm coming from years of just throwing it out there. But now I'm like, yo, friend, some shit done popped off. You got some time. Can you handle my mental shit today? And Robin will tell me, no, dog, not today. I'm going to holler back at you later, though. Bet.
No.
And that's
what I tell
a healthy
you.
Boundary.
That is so crazy, because, like, I literally – so there's a lady that I recently kind of got to know when I visited Atlanta. And – we started talking on the phone because we had so much in common. We're both like oddballs. We don't march to the same beat as everybody else, you know? And one day, while I was talking to her, I said, you know what, before I even, like, go into this, how are you today? Like, do you have the room or the space for what I'm about to say? Like, are you in any kind of a situation right now? And she stopped and she was like, you know what? I like you even more because at least you give a damn enough to ask. You know,
mm-hmm.
how many people that consider themselves your friend literally say, you know, things like that. And I guess as I get a little older, I tend to look at other things where my value systems change when it comes to the people
mm-hmm.
in my life. Like, what mm-hmm. energy are you bringing to this situation? You know, you don't owe me consideration because I don't obligate people in my mind to any kind of, you know, value systems. But like, I'm looking at it like, are you one of those people that actually is considerate of my feelings, my needs, and my situation, my boundaries? And mm-hmm. when you start crossing those, it makes me question it. And, you know, I guess I realize that, you know, like when you start, free yourself of that whole obligating people to this sort of set of standards or morals or what have you, you get free
mm-hmm.
and you're no longer surprised when you get the reaction that's the antithesis of what any other human being would have expected. So I came to realize that just as much as I don't owe you don't owe me anything, I don't owe you anything. And if you can't respect my boundaries,
yep.
or if the love
yep.
that you're putting out is one I don't want to participate in, I can, you know, love you and love the memory of you.
Yes,
look,
and Michael.
I was talking to go ahead.
Yes, and I'm saying that, Michael, you know, and being considerate of others, you know, their feelings and their emotional, you know, being. You know, you may have a friend that has an underlying mental illness such as narcissism where they don't care, it's all about me. And those type of red flags, when they don't care, they just want to dump everything on you. You know, hey, I need, it's me. You know, it's all about
mm-hmm.
me. I don't care what you're feeling. You're going to give me your time. You know, I don't care. You're not a friend. You know, woe me. You know, so
mm-hmm.
watch out for them kind of red flags when, you know, nobody don't care about what you're feeling. They're just going to give it to you anyhow, you know?
Right.
They try
and
we call those energy vampires. They try to suck all your good energy up. They want it. They need it. That's what they crave for. That's what it's about. You know, I share with you guys, and I'm going to share with the rest of the people that's listening. I had a recent experience with red flags. You know, I'm out here in Hawaii now, single, living my best life, hey, 50 years old, dating. So I met this gentleman, he's 48, never been married, said he was engaged twice, no children. First time we met, he said all the right things, did all the right things, was appropriate when we met, you know, did all the right things at first, no red flags, you guys, whatsoever. We went out on a date. That's when the red flags start coming, was the first date. It's like you kind of watch people. If you're just meeting someone, and especially when you get up in age like I am now, and I'm not even that up in age. I'm still a young, spry chicken. But anyway, I digress. When you get older, you know, there are things everyone, by the time you're 50, let alone the age that whoever's listening may be, I know by the time I'm 50, I've had my heart broken multiple times. I've dealt with crazy people. I'm not trying to sign up for that shit again. I'm very cautious about who I let in my life. My boundaries are set, and this is where the boundaries are. So for someone coming in, when you meet someone and they're immediately trying to attach themselves to you, that is a red flag. That shows that there's an attachment issue because people at a certain age should be very cautious. We're not in elementary school where, hey, how you doing, little friend? All of that. We're at a certain age. We've been hurt before. We have scars. We have traumas. We should not be trying to jump into anything by the time here.
Mm-hmm.
So this gentleman is like, he's using words like we, and then he's trying to put on restraints on what my time is. Like, I was telling him when we were out, oh, like, yeah, me and my cousin are going to go out later. Oh, we not going out later? Who the fuck is we?
Mm-hmm.
I just met you Monday. It's Thursday. There's no we here, sir. There's no we. Back it up. That was one of the flags. My other flag with him was the lack of consciousness toward what my needs and wants were. We're on a second date, and I'm telling you I'm ready to go, and I've been at this place with you for 5 hours. You should be like, well, let's get the hell on out of here then. Let's go. No, he was all about he's got to do this, he's got to do that, and I'm like flags all over. And I remember telling Michael, I said, I'm going to do a little experiment with this guy because I stopped answering his text messages because I realized, you know, he even texted me, I guess that's it between us. What us? There's no us. You don't know me. You just know what I've told to you. And this is why I tell people, please don't rush into relationships. People that rush into relationships don't love themselves enough. They might love themselves a little bit, but they don't love themselves enough, because if you really love yourself, you taking time, if you're comfortable with yourself and you love you, letting somebody in with you, how did Eartha Kitt say it? I have fallen in love with me, and I want somebody to share me with me. Very profound. When you really love yourself, you're not about to stop and let somebody just run in and take that shit over again.
Oh my God, you hit a little moment. I want to put a pin in this one just understanding. Like, so many of us were conditioned to think that loving ourselves was in some way synonymous with selfishness or narcissism.
What?
And I think that that whole thing, like, they never realized that me loving myself enough to tell you that you can't treat me this way, that's not selfishness. You know, but me basically ignoring your boundaries, or better yet, you ignoring my boundaries, is an example of you being selfish, because you didn't care that I'm like, listen, this is a line for me and you're crossing it. And that's and that's something that, like, not only from the friendship perspective, like, how people got family members, people have religious officials, people that pastor churches that cross boundaries, you know. So it's like, where is that line between you loving yourself and people considering you selfish? That I wanted to put a pin in, just in case, you know.
Love,
you said something that triggered
it. Put a whole pin in that, for real, because it really has been seen as a negative. Self first does not mean selfish. Let me say that for the people in the cheap seats. Self first does not mean selfish. Just because I'm putting myself first, when you guys are on an airplane, who do they tell you to put that little mask on first when shit pops off? I've never heard a stewardess say, put the mask on the baby, your husband, your daughter, your mama. They say, put it on yourself first so you can get the oxygen, so you can get the air that you need to breathe to survive, and then put it on your loved one. That's the same with your boundaries. That's what a boundary is. It's putting that oxygen on yourself first so you can breathe. You can't fill nobody when your cup is empty. Can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you try, you really don't mean it. It's some bullshit. You need to fill yourself first. And that's a lot with, especially us in the color communities, but people of color, us. A lot of that, we have that ingrained thing in us that we got to put our family before us. Oh, that's your cousin. That's your mama. That's your son. That's your daughter. Yes, but that's an adult. That is an adult that has choices just like I have.
Right.
That's an adult that's making decisions just like I make. So why do their decisions need to negatively impact me?
Yeah, and that's another thing, like, especially mothers. Mothers get pressured into this sort of selflessness, self-sacrificial understanding that it chaps my ass a little bit. Because my ear said, how can you tell this person who's dealing with being a mother that before she became a mother, she was a woman all her own? You know, how can you tell her that she's got to put her mental health aside to go and tend to things of child? Remember, first of all, if you're not well in mind, how are you able to give? How are you able to nurture this kid? And then there's that whole facet of your child's going to grow up and become who they become, regardless of whether or not you've taught them this or taught them that or didn't. They're going to become who they're going to become. because you won't be the singular influence on that person, and they could turn into a complete ass. So at the end of the day,
no matter how good you've been trying to be.
And my deal is you got to remember
that. The
realest
scene I've ever seen in a movie was that Sex and the City movie where Charlotte went in the closet to cry a little bit because them children was driving her crazy. That's some real shit. That's some real shit. Your children will drive you, and we're supposed to be superhuman, and no, we going to go cry right now because they driving us crazy, and we don't know what to do because they driving us crazy.
Yes, it's this sort of like, there's this sort of asinine need to tell people what love looks like. You know, like, you can't tell me that I have to love an individual more than the life given me. I'm sorry. You know.
So let's now, how do we set healthy boundaries, you know? So identifying red flags, you guys, is knowing it. And I know Rob and I talked about this earlier this week because I was like, dog, you ever had red flags that you ignored? She, what'd you say, Rob?
Oh, God.
Michael, have you seen red flags you ignored?
Okay, so real talk. I'm gonna keep it a stack and tell y'all it was my very last serious relationship, right? I met this man. For those of you who don't know, I'm same gender loving, however you want to go about it. But I met a man, and you know, we sort of instantly felt this chemistry, really nice person. And then the next thing I know, there were a lot of we's and latching on, and there was just, oh, you know, we're going to work on building our life together. And I'm like, damn, 60 days in and you're trying to do this. But I ain't going to lie to you. I enjoyed his company. He's a sweet person. There were other facets of our relationship that I enjoy, you know. We ain't going to go too deep on that. But I guess the combination of it was, I said, you know what, a part of that was the fact that I didn't think I could ever love again. Okay, I just started therapy and all of that good stuff. I didn't think that I could have someone. And I had my own little issues in terms of, like, believing that I deserved love because of the fact that, you know, when your mother begins to basically tell the world she doesn't know you and turns her back on you in that way, you question, like, well, if my mama don't want me, why anybody else gonna want me? And so I guess in an effort to fill that void, I decided, you know, I'm going to give this a shot because, you know, it's a shot at love and he's a great person. And for as many great qualities as he had, I came to find out that he had an anger streak, that when he didn't go the way that he had hoped, you know, he would act out and things like that. And then I don't know what happened. One day he picked me up from work and everything was great. He asked about my day. I asked about his. We talked. We get home. And his attitude instantly changed. He starts slamming shit and whatever. And I go outside, smoke a cigarette. You know, I'm just going to avoid the beast. He comes outside sweeping. And I guess he didn't realize that I was really working on my healing to a point when I was trying to grow as a person and not be codependent in a way. So he came out while he was sweeping the patio. He looks at me and he says, you know what? I don't want to be in a relationship anymore. Matter of fact, I never wanted to be in a relationship to begin with. And I happened to be scrolling on Facebook, smoking a cigarette, and I turned around and I said, okay, cool. When are you leaving? When I tell you that, poor baby stopped sweeping the patio, went back in the house, and sat in a dark living room for 2 hours. And while he sulked, I grabbed my keys and went and treated myself to a meal. And I know it sounds
that's
real
a boundary.
Rude that I did.
And that is a great example of setting a boundary.
Yeah, you're not going to gaslight me into doing what you want. You're not going to use that manipulative thing where you throw out a little lure to see to see if I'm going to come after you. And you found out that I came to that. You caught me at that place in my life where I come to a point where I realized that, you know what? I love me more. I'm sorry. I don't love you more than life itself, and it never will be that case. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Tuesday will pass. Yes. You'll still be mad, and I'm gonna be all right.
Yes. Well, for me, y'all, my red flag was when this guy I was interested in started showing signs of controlling behavior. And what he didn't understand is that as a child, I wasn't listening to my mom and dad what I was supposed to. So as an adult, he me have a chance, Jason, trying to tell me what to do, okay?
I didn't listen to my mama and daddy. What makes you think I'm going to listen to you?
You know, trying to tell me about, you know, things you didn't want me to do. Well, I don't like when you do that. It's like, listen, is that about what you think that I should do or shouldn't do? It's all about what I want to do and what I am going to do, regardless of how you think or feel.
Mm-hmm.
So that controlling thing, you got to see that red flag. I mean, that's red right in blue flag. It has, you know, bells on it. You know?
Look, ding, 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 ding.
Okay, well, I'm going to change, you know, I'm going to change the way I dress. I'm going to change the way I talk. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change the jewelry. I'm going to change everything just so that I can fit into your box. No, bruh.
Nope.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. That,
no,
that's when you got to that,
my
that place
used to
where
try
you
to
said,
tell me,
you'll have what I'm serving.
He used,
that's what you'll have.
Yep. My ex would tell me when I do my protective style and my braids, I remember one time I was like, ooh, I'm going to get the 15-inch braids, the 14-inch braids. You know, I want them a little long. He told me they was too long. Oh, are they? Okay. I got the 25-inch, 24-inch the last time. I went crazy the next time. I was like, give me the longest ones you got right now. I'm like, I want them suckers to be long because you're not about to tell me what to do. I'm an adult. And people in a healthy relationship, it should be – people think that it's 50-50. No, it's 100-100. 100% of you who loves you and 100% of that person who loves themselves loving you. You guys come together, but you should come together and love that individual. And too often people get in relationships and do the almost and it's okay and settle for it. And they try to make that other person get and evolve into it. And that's what I call now as a therapist, that we call that something. We call that attachment problems. You have attachment issues and these start in childhood. You know, so how you related in childhood, this really is people, and this is a surprise for a lot of people. How we act as adults, this is what we learned in our families. Because our developmental age, we are born as a blank slate. I really believe that, and I understand that, I know that. That we're born to paint. So the family that you're put in, how they put you, and you, if you watch babies, you guys, you'll see that. If you see babies in the store that are just happy and well-adjusted, you're like, oh, my God, look at the baby. The other babies that you know are going through trauma, I call them screechers because that's what they do. They screech. You know the screech in the store. You're in aisle 10 and they're aisle 4, and you hear, like, what the hell? Because that baby is already going through some trauma. And that doesn't mean the baby's being beaten or anything like that. That means the baby's basic needs are not being met, and they're screaming out for them to be met. That is the only vocal that they have. So as adults, when we go, so there's like an anxious style of attachment, which a lot of people have. It's because they didn't get that love they felt they needed from the mom or the dad or both, one or both parents. So that's how they attach. So the ones that really want to attach to you fast, those are the ones with the serious attachment problems because they're looking at you for happiness, and happiness does not come from anybody else. It comes from yourself. When you can be happy with yourself.
Say that.
When you can sit with yourself and take yourself out. I used to tell clients, take yourself out to eat. Go, girl, go do your hair. Do yourself up. Take some pictures for the gram. Snapchat it. You know, TikTok it. Do the damn thing. They were like, what? And in the same instance, spend more than that on the deadbeat boyfriend that they know is cheating on them, but they're going to buy the limo and treat him to 5-star trips. Why won't you do this for yourself? I don't need any other picture that you don't love yourself, and this is how you don't love yourself. And I know this is not going to be popular for some people that are listening that don't love themselves. But if you're doing more for someone else than you do for yourself, you don't love you. If you're ignoring behaviors and you know it's bringing you stress and healthy pains and emotional pains and mental pains, you do not love you enough, and you need to check yourself and start loving you because you're worthy.
Say that.
You deserve it. You are here for a purpose. If you didn't hear it from nobody else, hear it from us. You're here for a purpose. You deserve the love. Leave that toxic shit today. You've been getting the signs all this time. I used to tell my clients, that emotional indicator that you have, listen to it. Mm-hmm. Remember when we were kids, you guys, and the creepy person was at the bus stop, walked past you in the store, you felt it. You ain't even had nobody had to tell you, be like, and you tell your friends, no, back up, this person's weird. Get the fuck back.
Okay.
You felt it. We were taught to ignore it.
Same.
We got to stop that shit. We got to stop ignoring that. You still have it in you. When you feel that instinct, you are not wrong. If your instinct is telling you this person is off, this person is fucking off. And go to the next side and keep going, because you're going to save yourself a lot of strife.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of strife.
But you know what? You said a mouthful there. First and foremost, you are batting 1,000 a day, I'm telling you, because, like, one of the things that I constantly tell a lot of my friends is that this,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the hype behind relationships is this word marriage, right? And for me, people think that in a relationship, they have this whole, well, you know, two become one. And I tell people, drop that shit out of your mind, because I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. You were an individual.
Hold on, let me do a dead drop real quick to that one. I got to drop. Because you just spoke on that shit. Hold on.
You were an individual
I had a death
person.
Drop.
You are an individual person, and you've decided to share time, space, and energy with another individual. You never become one person. You're still that same individual. And if the relationship is shit, it's going to be shit when you marry him. You understand?
Mm.
The ring is not going to change it. Mm. And let me tell you something. One of my closest friends, I love her to pieces, love her to life. But there came a time where even I got fed up with the constant complaints about her man. And one day she caught me off guard. And I was, you know, sometimes when you're not in that place to filter what you have to say, it just falls the fuck out the way it comes. I fucked around. And she was like, well, what do I do? And I was like, shit, I don't know, kill him. And she was like, why would you say something like that? That's ridiculous. I was like, almost as ridiculous as you sound doing the same shit and expecting a different result. I was like, at the end of the fucking day, the man, you knew his behaviors, you knew the circles he moved in, you knew how he moved before you decided to marry him, and you knew that there was a likelihood that that would come with problems, because he used to be a drug dealer. And
I can say, kill him. I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes I ain't got the sense God gave a walnut, baby, but I say what comes to mind, you know. And I believe everything happens for a reason, and that was a talk she needed. I said, you know, baby, here's the deal. You can spend time putting your energy into arguing with this man about the same shit that he keeps doing, right? Or you can keep it a stack. Take that energy and put it where it's best served and focusing on you. Never forget that you exist as an individual. And then this woman was like, well, I don't believe in divorce. I said, why don't you believe in divorce? Well, she was like, well, because, you know, I said, if you're about to give me some Christian spiel, I'm about to shut you down. First of all, I want you people to understand, marriage, the word itself, is not a religious term. It's a legal agreement. You go back to 19th century England and you will see that two men married each other for business purposes, to join their businesses without having to go through crazy mergers and paperwork. So a marriage in and of itself is a legal agreement. It's the joining of assets. Beyond that, the relationship is where you fucked up. So that's why I tell people, like, know the difference. Like, two don't become one. Please drop that from y'all's mind somewhere.
They don't need to ask. Don't ask Michael for advice no more, because y'all going to get the real killing.
No, and what's
for
worse
real
is
though.
That this,
for real.
This one
yeah.
blogger by the name of Super Saiyan.
No, not for, hold on, let me disclaimer. Not, we don't really mean kill nobody. We not, you
put
know,
it out
fed.
There. I was just joking with her.
It was a joke, you know.
But and then a month later, I see a video from this one blogger by the name of Super Saiyan, and she said, "Don't ask me about relationships. Don't ask me for no relationship advice, because you go keep calling me about this same thing, and I'm just gonna tell you to kill him." Throw them a funeral. Bury them in the yard so you can keep an eye on them. I ain't got time for this. Y'all get off my phone.
One thing I've learned is when people have had enough, that's when they will leave. And they will take the chance, even in the most. And people like, Bridget, even if they're being beat up and their life is in danger, yes. When someone has had enough, they are done, they are done. When they've had enough making excuses for this person. And there's another thing people fall in love with and they don't realize the red flags, because it's called potential. I think this person has potential to be everything I want them to be. No, they don't, boo. What you see is what you get. If they change later on, that might be a plus.
They struggle with science. If you took a physics class or a physical science class, when they talked about energy, there were two types of energy. There's potential and there's kinetic. Potential is just sitting there. It could happen, maybe, possibly, yeah.
For real?
You know, you can shit in one hand. Never mind. No, I'm sorry. You can wish with one hand and wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which one gets filled first. I mean, ultimately, the action is what you need to be looking at. How's this person moving? And I say that now, but I tell you, I'm a victim of it too. I've done it to myself, and I admit it. But the one thing I have learned is that even though I know the mistakes I made, I don't like crucify myself for them. You know, I learn from them. And I was I endured a 6-year relationship wherein right around the third year I endured verbal abuse, and I kept it going for another 3 years. I allowed it. And I couldn't see, and then when I looked back right after the relationship, I was like, how did I endure that? Why did I do that to myself? Because I was caught. Because
you didn't love yourself to the extent. Not only that, you didn't love yourself the way you love yourself today.
Yes.
Because the person you are today would never stand for that shit, because you are different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If anything, when people that you least expect to ever do you wrong or hurt you or cross your boundaries and stuff like that, do those things. If you really pay attention, you see that, you know what, I need to stop right now, because what am I doing here that's allowing me to be here, that's allowing me to think that this is okay? It's just like, you know, it's just like growing up as a black child in this country. You know, we get this whole thing in our mind that says, oh, ass whooping is something that's natural, you know, a spanking.
It's
okay,
not.
Whatever.
Mm-mm.
But then you get older and you get a little more grown and you experience things, and then, God, therapy. I'm just to put that out there.
Therapy. You know, as a therapist, I'm a big proponent for therapy. Go get therapy, everyone. Even therapists have therapists. So, yeah.
It was.
Right. My therapist hurt my whole feelings in one session. And, like, I literally said, you know, as a kid, you know, I did get spankings and stuff. She said, hold on, baby, let me stop you. I have a black therapist. We talk like this. So she literally said, baby, let me stop you, sugar. That wasn't discipline. It wasn't a spanking. It was abuse. And that's violence.
It was abuse.
The verbal abuse you endured as a child, the spankings that you thought were normal, you normalized these things.
Nope. Yep.
Because this is what you saw. It was the status quo. And you notice that, like, it's crazy, like, when you get so used to something that's toxic, that's been normalized, the general consensus tends to try to turn on you. Oh, no, I'm going to continue whooping my baby's ass, because, you know, I'm like, but I have to
remember that,
it's that programming.
It's the programming. When we stop and think, it really ties back to what we dealt with as children, and that goes back to what you dealt with, that goes back to what I dealt with. What anybody's dealt with as a child, and how you internalize it in your environment, and that's how you begin. And the thing, like for me, my whole thing used to be control. I had to learn to let go of control. That's a tough thing for me, like having total control of everything, and you'll see that. And that comes in an environment where the child felt they had no control. That doesn't mean the child had a horrible environment growing up, but it felt like they didn't have control. So that's where that control comes in. All right, who's traveling? Who's traveling? Which one of y'all out in the streets? That's background noise.
It ain't me.
But it ain't me.
It might be me.
I'm in my crib because Look, that's the feds then. If it's not y'all, that's the feds. Because they always popping in on me and Robin when we talk. I know they do. Yeah, anyway.
Big old fan, yeah.
It's that whole thing of...
I'm going to just call them out. They be really interrupting our phone calls and stuff because we talking facts about the shit that they do.
Yeah.
And it just
like,
be
just,
us.
And Bridget, I told you about it. One of my favorite books is a book by Dr. Joy DeGruy, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. It's a discussion and a half. Like, I say all of us should read it over again if, for me, but the deal is that, like, this sister literally, like, she was a doctoral candidate when she wrote it, but, of course, now she's done. But she literally took the behaviors and things that we've normalized as black people in this country. You know, something as simple as, you know, how black parents have a habit of gravitating towards denigrating their children and trying to find out, like, why is it that even in a positive situation do you find fault with this child? Why is this happening? So she posed this example wherein there were two women. There were these two women. Sorry, somebody knocked on my door. There were these two women that were sitting at an assembly. One was a white parent. One was a black parent. And the white woman looks over at the black woman and says, oh, my God, I heard that your child is, like, top of the class. He's doing amazing. Oh, my goodness. And then this sister turns around and says, well, okay, that's cool and all, but, like, I can't get him to keep his room organized. He's a little bit too hyperactive. Oh, my God, I just wish he could focus on one thing at one time. And then she took that imagery, changed the white woman to a slave owner, changed the black woman to a slave woman, and that child is still that black child sitting next to her. And that baby's young, and here comes the slave owner saying, your son's getting big there. And then she quickly lists off any defect, behavioral problem she can think of, all in the hopes of this child not being sold. And we carry that on, that concept of I denigrate you because I love you. I denigrate you to keep him from selling you. And that's just one example of the many discussions that she opened up in that book. And I say it was a wake-up call for me, along with coupled with therapy, because I tell you people, you can't evade therapy. Therapy is a thing. You need it. Even if you're not sort of battling anything, it's a place that you can go to just vent.
Yeah, because us therapists, when I'm a therapist, I have no stake in your relationships. I don't know you. I don't know your people. I'm just going to look at what your life is, and I'm going to tell you what I see from what you're telling me. So it's like I'm your best friend that you pay for. I don't have no stake. I don't know your people, so I'm going to give you the real on what I see. And that's what – it's like your paid best friend, but not. And that's the problem with a lot of us therapists that are good. You guys want to be our friends, but you can't be our friends because we're your therapists. And then my friends want me to be their therapist. I'm like, I can't be your therapist, boo. I can't do that. But that's where it is because we don't – have a stake in none of your relationships. We don't care if you never talk to Aunt Bertha again. We don't care if you and your cousin had caught hands together at Thanksgiving. We don't care. We're trying to get you healthy. You are our client. We want you healthy. And what's healthy for you? And what's healthy for you people are setting boundaries for yourself. Emotional indicator, it don't even have to be hard. You don't even have to have the education of the words. You can feel it. If you feel off, if it feels wrong, it is. You ain't even got to ask nobody or question that shit. It's wrong. If you even got
to,
like people say, right, is my man cheating? Bitch, you even asking the question, yes, that nigga cheating. He's cheating. Because you're feeling it. You know it in your bones. You feel it. Don't ignore that. Stop. We have to stop letting this program. We have to change our programming. And I have to applaud the generation that's coming up now. More and more are going to therapists. Y'all are seeking it out. Y'all are, like, questioning and not taking it with a blind acceptance that this is the way it's supposed to be. It's not. They fucked us up, y'all. I'm going to just put, yes, I love my parents. I love y'all. I do. Y'all fucked us up. You did. You fucked us up. Even when you tried your best to do better, you still fucked us up. But now this generation is learning. This generation is learning. And we're going to have to do a whole show on, because I really want to talk to y'all about the law of attraction and the power of faith and pure belief. Because that in itself will take you, and people think that belief, oh, what's that? And I believe. No, you don't, because you're still doubting yourself. So right. It's about loving yourself. But back to these red flags and setting boundaries. Boundaries are so healthy, people. I have a friend that told me recently, and again, I'm sorry, friend, if I give too much. So they not my client. So if I give too much, that they can't sue me. But anyway, they were telling me about they let a friend move in with them here in Hawaii. Let me say it right. And this friend has now become a leech. And I'm like, wait, you have two children that are under teenage. They're still in single-digit years. You have two babies that you have to take care of. And now you're taking care of a grown man. Is that right? Because I want to understand this. Yeah. Why? I feel sorry for them. Why? That's a grown motherfucker. They made the choice to come to this island. Like, I made the choice to move to this island from New Jersey. That was a conscious, decisive choice and effort. It's not a quick thing to move to Hawaii unless y'all are crazy as hell and on some drugs, some serious drugs. Then you need help because this is not an easy move. You need some dollars to come here from the mainland. You know, it's not cheap. It's not. So for him to move and move in on you and your daughters, number one, that shows he's not no friend of yours. Because I, as a friend, would never try to take money from your babies. That's food they could be eating. That's, you know, clothes they could be wearing, blah, blah, blah. This is money that is going out to you. And you don't care, and obviously you don't. And I'm trying to tell my friend, I'm like, why is that your problem? That is what you need to ask yourself. Why is the adult's problem my problem as an adult? Right. They're a thinking, feeling individual. Because when you start thinking about that, you get out of your own way. And I've told clients then, when are you ready to get out of your own way? Let me know. So I can help you get out of your own way. So I can show you your obstacle that's in your way, and you can move it because I can't move it. I can't do that for you. I only see clients once a week for 50 minutes. You have you for the rest of that time. You got to make those choices, and you got to make those decisions. And even your friends that you think are your counselors, they can only talk to you so much. They got their own stuff going on. You got to make that decision to get out your own way.
You know, so it's
Michael,
funny we talk about.
I understand what you told your friend. Kill him, cause shit. My thing, you can fuck him. Shit, I don't give a fuck.
You know, mother had him, mother fed him, mother fuck him. You know. But you know, it's funny
for
we
real.
Talk about It's funny we talk about boundaries. Mine were just tested, like while we were on this call. While we've been on this show, mine were just tested because, you know, my roommate and I share some mutual friends. They're engaged right now, hanging out, chilling, whatever they're doing here. And I guess they were anticipating me coming out to kick it. And the moment I said, no, I have things to do, I muted myself to do so. But I watched a face for them. So what that tells me is that you don't like the fact that those boundaries exist. And guess what? Not my problem.
Yep.
That's a first world problem, sweets. That don't exist in my world. Those emotions aren't mine. And that's another thing, like, please, people, when you place boundaries, don't determine when and where you're going to place boundaries based on somebody's reaction.
Hello. You don't work.
Amen.
Good, bad, or indifferent, that's how they feel, not how you feel.
Hello.
I guess, you know, I came to a place in my life I had to stop taking inventory of other people's emotions, emotional reactions to me fulfilling my needs.
Say that again. You had to do what? Because some people ain't hear that. Say that again. I want you to say that one again.
I had to stop taking inventory of other people's emotional responses to me focusing in on my needs.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes. That's not how this works. Because at the end of the day, I came to realize something. Like the day that I realized I needed therapy, I woke up that morning feeling just fine. Sat outside, lit a cigarette like I normally did, had my little coffee. You couldn't tell me everything wasn't, great. And out of nowhere, I burst into tears. And the first session with my therapist, we got to the place where we talked about a lot of things. And one of the things that we talked about, she was like, you reached a place in your life wherein you realized that you kept silencing yourself. And you swallowed and you swallowed and you swallowed all at the behest of other people because you didn't want to rock the boat. baby, you're going to have to be okay with rocking the boat because the boat's only rocking on one side of it. You fine. You owe yourself sanity, baby, because if you don't have your mind, what do you have? And
shout out to Michael's therapist.
Yo, that's just that I can't thank her enough. Like, and that's why I chose a black therapist. And listen, cultural sensitivity is a thing, people. Cultural sensitivity
that's
is a
whole
factor.
Show.
But,
for real.
And
for
that's
real.
Why I chose
one thing about it, that's two things for sure. Yes. Cultural sensitivity and therapy. I've learned that especially when I moved here to Hawaii. Yeah. I got booked and busy my first job as a therapist here because they was like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. White therapists, you guys need to step up to the plate. Y'all got this little thing and you think you know, you don't know. And the thing is, you don't want to know. And that's my problem, but that's a whole other show. Not all of them, because I have some friends. One of my friends is coming on, Lisa. Hey, boo. Hey, Lisa. She's going to be coming on talking about, I believe we've got her scheduled for the last Sunday of January for the new year. So she's going to come out. She's got a book coming out, you guys.
Amazing.
She had a struggle. Had I known it, like, when I met her, she's the sweetest little bright of sunshine. Like, and then when she starts sharing what she's been through, I'm like, what the fuck? And that you're this person now, so that tells you that regardless of what you've been through, so you guys are going to love her. But she's one of the few, you know, therapists that are not, you know, a person of color. They're on the other side. That she's really trying to understand and trying to learn and not assuming that I know everything. And I question my people when I come, and they're like, I've had a therapist before. When I get a black person that specifically asks for a black woman, why, you know, have you had a therapist before? Yes. You know, what were they? They were white. Okay, tell me about your experience. And it usually is what Michael just said. I didn't have that connection. They didn't connect with me. It didn't even feel they were trying to connect with me or understand me or where I'm coming from. They thought they knew. They feel I'm not racist, so I know what you're going. No. And for you white therapists that want to know, you know how to figure it out? I'm going to tell you. Ask a question. You ask. What was it like for you? What was it like growing up for you? How did that feel? How did that make you feel? What did you do with that feeling? That's how you find out. So it doesn't matter what color you are at that point, because that client is going to be like, hey, you really hearing me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret. Yeah. But y'all ain't ready for that conversation, and you think you know social workers. But that's a whole other conversation, because I have a whole disdain for clinical social workers. Yes, I do. I do. I said it. I do. Except for the ones of y'all that I've met and that I know that you guys are good and you're really good for your client. The rest of y'all just wanted a job, and you wanted to do something you were good at. You really don't give a fuck about your clients. And your students or none of that. I do. But, again, that's a whole nother thing.
A whole
nother
discussion.
Don't let my
discussion.
Twin, don't let
but
twin
you know
come
it.
Out. Don't let Beatrice you, come out.
Not Beatrice.
I didn't tell you that. Your Uncle Paul named my Gemini twin Beatrice. He will say, you know, that's not Bridget. That's Beatrice right there, because that's that gangster bitch.
That's how you put some stank on it. Beatrice, honey. Beatrice.
Beatrice. Oh, yes. Beatrice. I love it. Yeah. It's done. I'm going to have to give me a Swiss shirt. Beatrice. Yo, he'd be like, yo, that's when Beatrice comes out. For real.
Oh,
that's that twin that none of you guys want to see. My coworkers love me to death, and they be like, oh, my God, you're so sweet. Yeah, but ever stop me from helping a child, and you're going to see I ain't nice. I'm like, what's her name from, what's that name? The Harder They Fall? Gertrude? Trudy? Trudy? Yeah, I got my inner Trudy. Trudy coming out. He said, what?
Listen,
what
it is, you know, and this is something that just like, I just had this thought, I'll drop it and keep it moving. But you know what, I believe this, just on my personal observation, like, I believe our parents were the first ones that put themselves in the position to just cross all our boundaries. Because I remember, like, just me growing up, I wasn't given agency over my own body. That was one thing.
Mm-mm.
That whole concept of, like, why are you forcing a child to hug someone? Why are you forcing a child to even be in the presence of someone?
Yes! Oh, my God. Yes. 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 And that's where the sort of no boundary starts. Because some of these families, some of our families, teach us that we're not supposed to have none, and we're supposed to.
Ooh.
I never made my children hug somebody. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, no. They don't want to talk to you. Okay, then go on about your business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole obligating the child to come and speak to.
Mm-mm. My youngest child did not like the little fake Santa Clauses. Once I saw that, we never went back again. We never went back to the Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, none of that, because they didn't like that costume. They didn't like that energy. I have literally one picture. If they didn't like it, we didn't do it. I put my youngest in piano lessons. They were like, I don't like this woman. She's creepy. We never went back. We never went back. I lost a client like that before, you guys, and I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to get sued, but this person, I was telling them that they're paying for their child to be emotionally abused by other adults, and they were pissed. But that's what you're doing. You're paying money for this child to go to this damn thing that you feel they need to go to and you want, and that we need to normalize to stop putting our unfulfilled dreams and our unfulfilled wishes that we didn't see for ourselves onto our children. That's some fucked up narcissistic shit.
Yeah, how do you obligate a child to associating, speaking to, being in the presence of a person that they just don't feel comfortable around? It's just that. Not that that person's done anything, but for whatever reason, there's a boundary there. Let them live that.
Let them, yep, yep, yep. We have to stop making children, oh, go hug your auntie. I don't want to. Go do it anyway. Why? Mm-hmm. So now I'm teaching my child. You know, I'm teaching my child. I had a client before, again, and this client, again, I'm not trying to say any gender or anything, but this client was like, you know, Bridget, it's because you stood up for me when I said I was trying to put a boundary out and nobody respected that boundary. And you were just so heated about nobody respecting my boundary that I made my boundary stronger. And that's what helped my healing, because you stood up for me even when I wasn't knowing that I should stand up for myself. And that made me stand up for myself. Because these boundaries, because the person, their parent taught them, oh, it's okay when somebody would oogle them and say, oh, this is a beautiful, and they felt this creepiness. Oh, no, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not. It's not.
Mm-mm.
It's not. Mm-mm. It's not okay, people. We're teaching children the wrong messages. And between the ages of birth to age 8, all they know, they might not even catch the language. So it's not what we're saying, it's what we're doing. Actions speak louder than words. This is where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
We learn from actions. And once it's cemented, it's in there. So from that whole period, if we're showing our children, it's okay for people to disrespect your boundaries. It's okay for you not to have any. It's okay for you to be a martyr and sacrifice yourself for everybody. It's okay. Then now you're wondering where your child is depressed and they're anxious and they're suicidal and they're ready to shoot up schools. That's a whole nother one. I've got some guest speakers lined up. I got to figure out which one for that. I'm calling in some favors for that conversation. I'm going to call in some favors with some of my people that are specializing in that, but we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. That's a conversation we're going to have. We're going to talk about parents, how you're growing. Yeah, I said it. You could be mad at me and feel the type of way. You're growing school shooters. You're doing this. You are putting this behavior in your child. Yes, you, boo-boo-kins. And you sitting back wondering, but that's another conversation. We ain't going to get into that today.
It's a real thing. Like, that whole allowing people to just, like, usurp your little boundaries. Oh, there ain't nothing.
Mm.
You know, like I've gotten to a point, like I said earlier in our broadcast, I can either love you or love the memory of you.
Hmm. That's another T-shirt. We need to do some T-shirt lines, folks. What y'all think? Because we got
some
expressions. I think we need some hoodies and T-shirts popping off. Because, look, I like that one, Michael. Like, I can love you or the memory of you. Hey!
And that's another thing. Like, people confuse that whole I had an instance where a friend of mine, well, we're going to say friend in quotation marks at that time, literally
Wait,
said
not friend in quotation marks.
Yeah. Because what occurred was, you know, there was an instance wherein they wanted to host a small event at my house. I said, okay, fine. You know, and I like these people. It was a cool event or whatever. And he left some equipment behind. Apparently, whoever he had using the equipment outside left it out there. It rained on it, and it rusted. It was like a gas burner or some sort. And this person literally said, well, it's your responsibility to keep track of my stuff because it was in your possession. It was in your house. I was like, well, it's not my responsibility to do that. One, because it's your belongings. You brought them here. One. Two, the person you had utilizing them was also an adult. And those that use things know to put them away. So don't obligate me to that, right? Then a friend of mine and I were talking at one point, and it turns out this friend knows him. And he was like, well, Michael, why is so-and-so so upset with you? And I told the whole story. And this dude literally called me like 2 weeks later and said, oh, so why are you out here still feeling salty? Why are you hating? I said, I can see that you have no real concept of vocabulary, because to know hate, you know the absence of love. And I could never hate a person, because that means I could see you suffering and not give a damn, you know. But the deal is that you're upset because I put a boundary up. You're not going to sit here and guilt me about something that you were careless about, one. And two, you don't get to gaslight me. You're not going to convince me that your logic makes sense. And that turned into this whole debacle that led to them literally coming to my home to yell at me. Like, came to my house, stood in my living room, and were yelling at me. And I don't know what it was on the inside of me, but something just kept my cool. I just sat there with a regular-ass expression, as if uninterested. And the person literally had the unmitigated gall to say, oh, you think you're somebody. And that's when I stopped. I said, no, baby, let's get this straight. I am somebody. Oh, somebody before I met you, as your friend, and soon to be without. So the same door you walked in, you can walk out, because here I pay bills. You ain't gonna disturb my peace, honey. And it's like, I've noticed that as I grow as a person, as I heal as a person, that there's so many people around me that I did not know were so damaged, because I was in the thick of my own. So
yep.
And they're falling by the wayside.
Yep. And that's what people have to learn to start doing. When the universe, God, or however you want to say the spirit that moves us, removes someone, let them go, because they're inhibiting your growth. When it's time for them to go, let them go. And when you let them go and move on, and you be like, damn, I know for me, it took a long time, you know, and I'll put it more in my book. Robin knows, and you guys know, my ex, I divorced and remarried him. You know, I was trying to get into heaven good. But I realized I inhibited what I needed to be, because I'm looking at potential. I think this person is going to be great. They're going to live up to what I think they should be. No, they're not. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person or they're necessarily a bad person. He was. I ain't going to lie. But narcissists ain't shit. Narcissists ain't shit. Run from a narcissist. Look, they will ruin your life and your credit. But anyway, look, they like coming with a whole bowling ball, like they fucking everything up, bitch.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how your little
they coming for it.
It's funny how your boundaries become a funky little something or other, or they minimize the need for those boundaries, or. You know, everything becomes not next to nothing. Illness, be it mental or physical. You know, all these
yes.
things become
oh, little,
just minimal things.
You had your little, you got your little class. You know what? And black people, they like to put little in front of it. You, oh, you doing your little class. Bitch, I'm in graduate little... school. You barely got a GED.
Yeah, you can't let
and you talking about my little class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they try to minimize your success and your growth and the things you're trying to step
mm-hmm.
upon. But you can't let
mm-hmm.
them do it because you let your light shine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let your light shine
mm-hmm.
and keep on
mm-hmm.
pushing.
And yeah, that's all you can do. And, you know, what people fail to realize is that I consider myself fortunate that, like, I do have a few friends that would say these things like, listen, whoever the hell that is, baby, you know, like I know, hit the road, let it go.
Yep.
Because it's only going to get worse.
Those are the friends you keep. Those
mm-hmm.
are the friends that are
yeah.
still in. Well, how long have we been friends? Over 30 years. Shit. But that shows the
yeah.
fact that we have grown as women, as black women, as
mm-hmm.
individuals. Like, she's been my inspiration for a lot of things. You know, we've grown, and we're still, that friendship just gotten stronger because
mm-hmm.
we allow each other to be individuals. She don't judge me. I don't judge her. I love her. She knows. She tells, let me tell y'all something about my best
yeah.
friend. I'll fuck y'all up about my best friend.
Well, first of all,
my nephew
y'all
too.
May as well go
Michael
call
is family,
cheese,
too.
Be...
That's my nephew, too, so, because I'm going to fuck y'all up over him, too. He just don't tell Auntie nothing because he know Auntie ain't wrapped too tight. But yes, y'all ain't gonna mess with my people.
Well, first of all, y'all better call. Y'all better put some. We gotta put some respect on Robin's name, because honey, all the years I remember growing up around Robin, Robin had a sense of fashion that good God help us all.
Look, let me tell you now. Let me tell you now. Let me tell you. Oh my God! Yes, bitch.
Call
give
her
it
blue
to
cheese,
us
because she be dressing.
Yes, to this day, ain't shit changed, nephew. Ain't shit changed. Ain't shit changed. Rob, the only friend, would talk me out of my cute shit. I remember one time I had just bought some shit. I don't know how she talked me out my new shit that I didn't even wear yet. My dog, you know that's gonna look better on me because I wear more colors than you, and you know that's gonna look good. I'm like, you right though. Yeah, go,
that's
bitch.
And I wore it well.
Wore the hell out of it,
yeah.
Yes.
So,
and a matter of fact, I still got it and still use it to this day.
I know you
yes,
do.
Yes,
I know
season
you do.
Season in and
you
season
you
out. Yes.
Look.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Y'all, Don't let Robin round y'all shit. I'm telling you, she good at talking y'all out y'all shit. She good at it. She's a professional shit talker. She will get your shit
ooh,
from you. Don't be around her.
Wow, you gotta do it like that.
And it don't be fake either. She be direct as fuck. It be like, damn. Be like, but she be sweet with that little sweet voice. Be like, oh, that's a nice necklace. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would look fabulous,
you know, that
with something I have in my closet.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what the next line is.
That's right. That's me.
I was like,
that's right.
Oh, God. The last time I saw Robert, I was like, in my mind, I was like, well, damn. It's going to kill us all with a look. Like, you chill around the house and you fly. What's popping?
Look, Robin, the type of friend you gotta be when she go to a wedding. Okay, you do remember you're not supposed to outdress the bride, right? Okay. I know you don't mean to do it. You're not trying to do it because that's your style. But today you gotta put in your front mind who the bride is. If the bride is another fabulous bitch, then go for it. Go forth and be fabulous. But if the bride is dowdy, no, you can't. No, Robin, no. You can't
okay,
look like the
okay.
Egyptian queen reborn today.
Listen.
Robin will step out with the choker on and the earrings, and you sway up and down. This is Cleopatra that came back to life.
Yeah.
Hey, queen.
Matter of fact, I was just FaceTiming with Bridget, and I got on this shirt. I love the shirt, by the way. I got it from this designer that I connected with on Facebook. And And I, you know, I was like, damn, I look pretty. That's what was going through my mind.
I love and, it. Yes. I need to get the rights to Princess Pretty Man so I can play it on the show. Pretty. Pretty man.
But also,
yes.
Like, I think about the progress that it took to get there, to be able to just find beauty in myself. And that's a part of setting boundaries. You got to love what you got and value that thing, but you put up a boundary to protect it.
Yes.
You got to feel like you got something to protect.
Yes. Let me ask you
people,
guys this.
Michael,
what are positive things? Oh, go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you too, what are positive things that you both say to each other? To yourselves, I mean, each separately. Every morning, like, to uplift yourself, what's something positive you tell yourself?
I tell myself.
Go ahead.
For me, I tell myself that in regard to the situations that I'm in, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So regardless of how I'm feeling, what I'm going through, I just give a good scripture to try to, you know, give me some uplifting, some strength and encouragement and keep it pushing. And I always have to say, regardless of what I'm feeling or what I'm going through, that I am beautiful. I will never look as bad as I feel.
Yes.
But y'all ain't going to catch me on a day like that in no time.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Michael, what you say?
So, tell you a little piece before I say it. I bumped into a video some years back of Jennifer Lewis. And she was on some game show, and she was speaking, I guess, you know, after the show or whatever.
I saw that, Michael.
Right. And she says that she gets up every morning.
Yes,
and she brushes her teeth. She spits out what she got to spit out. And she pauses and looks in the mirror and says, pretty bitch. You know.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I did take that from her. I do it occasionally. But I actually, from that sort of glean, you know, Michael, I made a promise to myself. You need to devote your time every day. Do it once a day in the morning before you go or whatever. Find one thing. Be it a physical trait and or something that's not seen by the naked eye. Call that out. Call it beautiful. And I also say to myself, I don't look like what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
And I'm not who I was back then anymore. So I don't have to go back there. I always remind myself of that. Just that sort of my.
Oh, that's another T-shirt. Hold on, you dropping some gems. I don't look like what I've been through, because bitch, I'd be a hot mess.
You know, I'm just grateful.
Sir.
You know, I'll be.
Wow. We ain't dancing over that. Hold on that thought, Michael. Rob, yo, I don't look like what I've been through. That's a whole thing.
Hello.
Mm.
That's me. I'm raising my hand over here.
You know,
I don't look like what I've been through. You have said a whole word, Michael, today. That is something. And for you guys listening, if you've been through a lot, I know you feel it at. Like, if you still got your head up high and you still putting your makeup on or whatever you're doing to make yourself feel good, you don't look like what you've been through, baby. And we know you probably done been through some stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
it's
wow,
that whole
that's
moment,
a word
like,
right there.
Like, and earlier today, I had a moment where I was talking to some young ladies that I know, and it just so happens that, like, I was talking about me because they asked me, you know, Michael, how do you get the wherewithal to be as sweet of a person as you are? And I was like, to be honest with you, every day I take a little time to remind myself about how much I love myself. And I remember what I've been through, but
there
I don't dwell
go.
On it. And there was a point at which I thought about, like, I'm talking to this woman and I thought about, you know, how, you know, what I went through. And one of the things, because what it is this woman was, one of the women were going through something with her mom, doing to her what my mother did to me. And I looked at her and I said, baby, I'm going to tell you something. Live for you. Live for you, because I went 20-some-odd years pining over a love for my mother that was never going to come to fruition. And I had to come to accept that it's the hardest thing in the world, but baby, get you a therapist, gather yourself. Mm-hmm. And in that moment when I thought about how free I have gotten since I liberated myself from the obligation I felt to my mother.
Yep. You know what happened with you? You start looking for the love in yourself that you wish she gave you. And that is the key. Looking for the love that everybody's trying to get. We trying to give away to other people. We want someone to love us and be our soulmate. You are your own soulmate, people. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you, when you love yourself truly, the person that you want to share that love with is going to come. But you got to get there first. And that's what you found. That's what you realized. Be like, you know what? I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And I love me more than I feel that you need to love me. And the thing with your mom, she didn't love herself. She still don't love herself. She don't know how to love herself. She's not trying to love herself. That's the difference between healthy boundaries and unhealthy boundaries.
Right.
Because those are things, too. And we got 13 minutes left on this show. Let's talk about unhealthy boundaries, you guys. Those are things, too. We've been talking about healthy boundaries and knowing the flags and all of that. What are unhealthy boundaries that you've ascribed to? Stay out there. Unhealthy boundary is saying, like, I told someone once, when I go to sleep, I turn my phone off. That's a healthy boundary for me. And they were like, oh, my God, what if it's an emergency? What the fuck can I do?
Except you might want to dial 911.
I live in Hawaii now, so I really can't do shit. But even back then when I lived in New Jersey and they lived in Florida or wherever else, what can I do for you? Well, so, what if so-and-so died? Are they going to come back to life between now, the time you call me to tell me they died and interrupt my sleep and my peace of mind right now? Is that going to change? No, it's not. The same person that just died, rest their soul, they're going to still be dead by the time my alarm goes off in the morning, where you can call me at a decent hour, where I am now rested and I'm prepared to handle this emotional thing that's going to bother me. Not because, oh, my God, I just heard because I don't have any boundaries from you calling me, and I just heard, so now I'm going to infringe on your boundaries, and I'm not going to allow you to have your rest. And God forbid you have your rest and your boundaries. That's an unhealthy boundary. Thinking you have to answer that call. You don't. When you have a loved one that calls you at a crazy time, you don't have to answer that.
And in between, my block button is strong. I have an iPhone. Block. I got gas. I remember being somebody trying to gaslight me into answering the phone at their behest. No.
Mm-hmm.
If I got room for it, I'm answering.
Okay. For real. So it's all about the boundaries, people. We went over. Michael, we were talking earlier today, like, do we need 90 minutes for this show to talk about this? And, like, look, we got 11 minutes left and still talking about it because boundaries and these flags are a thing, you guys. If you see a red flag, trust it. For real. Trust it. Don't doubt yourself. Don't think you didn't see what you saw. You saw it, and now you can't unsee it unless you want to unsee it. I know in my ex-relationship, my long marriage, I didn't see what I saw. I saw it, but I chose not to see it, and I made excuses for it. And that inhibited my growth. So now, moving forward, I don't unsee it. Once I see a flag on the play, that's it. Tag out. Next player, come in there because it's not for me. This game is not for me. I'm out. We're done. And that's a boundary. That's a boundary. So people, recognize your boundaries, you know. Set them up. It's okay. Oh, and Rob had to go, you guys. She had a family emergency. Okay. She wishes you guys peace and blessings. Catch you the next episode, the last Sunday of the month. Yep.
And if I can leave you all with any wisdom, I can tell you this. You don't have to sacrifice your boundaries in order to be loved. You don't. You don't have to sacrifice your boundaries to be welcoming to somebody. You know, because the people that reciprocate that love will respect those boundaries because they love you and they care about your well-being.
And because they have boundaries of themselves. People who know about boundaries respect boundaries because they have boundaries themselves. They be like, oh, that's a boundary. I like that. You got boundaries too. Hey, that's how I am at least. I'd be like, I love a good boundary. That's your boundary. You know, I work with autistic kids. Some of the teachers don't really understand. And I'm going to say this, teachers, I'm going to need you to read up. Some of yous, and that's my New Jersey here, some of yous need to read about the different parts of autism and how these kids are. There's one kid that doesn't like people staring at them. And the teacher didn't understand that. And I'm like, have you read about autism? That's a trigger for them. They don't mean to do it. That's just like inherent in them. You need more understanding of that. And don't stare at the fucking kid when they don't want you staring at them. Okay. I got to let that out because I can't let that out when I'm at the school. I have to be my nice Beatrice. I can't come out. Bridget has to stay at school at all times. I put her in, no, she stays in the lockbox, you know, when I'm at the school. But in my brain, I'm like, leave these kids alone. Allow them time to flourish and develop. Yeah. You don't want them to be like me and Michael up in old people age figuring out, oh, boundaries, healthy relationships. This is what it is. And I'm not just talking about daughters. Teach your sons, too, about boundaries and healthy relationships. I saw a little TikTok where the dude was talking about if your girl lets another dude buy her drink, she's cheating. Boy, you are so insecure. I don't even know what to say about you. No. No. That's saving on your little credit card because she's going to ask you for some money later because she done bought drinks for her and her girls that night. Dumbass. Shut up. You know, boundaries. They don't know these younger kids. You know, there's one guy. You see my TikTok, Michael, that I responded to that one little dude talking about he need therapy because he need therapy.
Oh, I got.
I don't
check
even know his
thing.
Name. Look, every video he has, he don't have his shirt on, and he's like, you know, ladies, you know, men, this, that, and the other. I'm like, sir, you're just angry. All your videos, I feel anger. I watched a few of them, not just the one I responded to. I'm like, you're just angry. You don't like women. You mad at us right now. You really are. Mm-hmm. Just admit it. You don't like us right now. You are angry than a motherfucker right now. Big mad.
Right.
No contact. If she don't submit to me, then I'm out the door. Bitch, bye.
And I need to put this out there to you fellas out there that are buying into this. It's about some woman submitting to you. Honey, nobody submits to a person in a relationship. A relationship isn't even exchange, boo. You both are there because you want to share time. She don't owe you a dinner. Come on, folks. Let's get out of these.
Nope. Yep. That's submission. And it goes both ways. Nobody owes you nothing. It's supposed to be an equal exchange. You know, it's an equal exchange. You know, you giving, and it's not 50-50. You giving 100 to you and 100 to the other person. It's not this, oh, we're going to be even, Steven. No, no. I've never submitted to him. Because number one, what are we submitting to? Your antiquated ideas of what a relationship should be, and you're not even bringing your full load to the plate, that you're doing the bare minimum?
Come on.
You can't even make me nut on a regular. I'm going to just be real. Ooh. Yes, I got real. That's why this show is PG-13. We're going to talk about things of this nature. If you can't make your significant other nut on a regular, you can't have shit in that conversation. Submit to who?
Yeah. And I tell people, like, at least in my experience, when you forego one of your boundaries, it's a domino effect. You usually forego
one
more.
Yep.
Because, like, you know, I spoke about
one more.
Yeah, I spoke about the, you know, the 6-year relationship. It took time to get me to that place. You understand? So there was one boundary crossed, another boundary crossed. Before long, I wasn't seeing my friends, hanging out with nobody. And there's the whole thing. Like, I've come to realize that none of that is healthy. Like,
nope. So now, the person you are today, let me ask you this. If you met that same person, would you give them the time of day?
No, not once I saw the – not once they tried to push across the boundary, no. I'm stopping them at the door.
Yep, the first time – you go back to the first time you met them and saw that first flag, you would not ignore that flag anymore, would you?
Right.
Because you love yourself more. And
absolutely,
that's the trick. I had to come to that realization with myself. I've always thought of myself as a strong, independent Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I settled for a long time. I left it and came back to it thinking it would get better, but I'm like, no. And it took a lot for me to say, you know what, Bridget? You really didn't love yourself as much as you thought you did. And that shit hurt to realize that. It really did. It really did. And when we're in abusive relationships, there is a give and take. Yes, that is not saying that person's not abusive. But that's saying that I got something out of that too. And what I got out of that is it was comfortable for me because I thought potential. You know, I didn't love myself enough and say, you know, I deserve better. But once I figured that, yes, bitch, no, you deserve better, I left. I was done. And I was willing to accept the fact that my life was not going to be the same. It was going to drastically change, although I didn't know how much it was going to drastically change, as you know, Michael. But we ain't going to spoil that because they're going to have to buy my book once I finish writing it. But it drastically changed. But I was ready for whatever because I knew anything that came at me was better than what I left behind. It was better than this strife. And this, I got to be angry, and I got to feel what y'all feel, and I got to feel what your people feel. And then now I got to watch out for my people and how they going to feel. And everybody mm-hmm. feel but what the fuck I feel.
Right.
And I'm it's drowning.
Good. Say it.
And I was drowning. And nobody was there to give me a life raft because they didn't understand and they didn't know, or I thought they didn't know. I didn't reach out to nobody because I'm like, I'm drowning. I'm mm-hmm. supposed to have this relationship and this, that. Y'all see it from the outside. No, this is not healthy. Mm-hmm. You know what? What we got? We got 2 minutes left. I'm going to tell y'all this. When I realized that I needed to really divorce my ex-husband, was one time there was this couple that I met, and she was a lawyer, and he was like blue-collar. I think he drove trucks or something. But she was a beautiful Black woman. I mean, this bitch was gorgeous, statuesque, smart. And I'm like, and I thought, like, why are you with him? And they actually told me one time we were over there. They said, we envy your relationship. We want what y'all got. And I felt like the biggest hypocrite on the planet Earth. And I was like, I am not happy. I am fucking miserable. I don't like this person. I really want to stab him in his heart when I wake up in the morning. Lord Jesus, please hide the knives when I get up in the kitchen to get my coffee because I want to stab him. That's where I was when they told me that in my spirit. That's how I felt. I'm like, I don't like this person. That's my husband. I hate him because he's not a good person. So why am I still here? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And that's a word that we need to be accustomed to. I'm afraid and own it. I was afraid of what was past that. But once I got past that fear, well, y'all know I'm living my life in Hawaii. That's a whole nother story, though. But that's what it is, you know?
Yeah,
that's really what it was all about.
It's like what we talked about earlier, you know, as you grow and evolve, as you start to become more whole,
yep.
there will be people that unfortunately
yep.
are not going to grow with you. Evolution is not a group
Mm-mm.
effort. It's just, it's an
Mm-mm.
individual thing. And sometimes Mm-mm. you have to accept that, you know what? This person's not going to be with me for the ride. They've lived their experience out with me, and I think that it's time to go. And that's okay. You're not a bad person for it. In fact, you're better for it because you're doing it for yourself.
And that's a great statement to end. We've got 30 seconds, y'all. Thank you again for joining Conversations with B, featuring your other hosts, Robin and Michael. We love you guys. Thank you for coming.
Hey,
Michael, last
yeah.
word. 20 seconds.
Love y'all. Be beautiful, be Black, and enjoy your life. Enjoy day. Enjoy every day.
You know, enjoy every day. And check us out on the last Sunday of this month, the last episode. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Bye.